This week, our missionary team will be departing to Thailand to propagate the word. Furthermore, the Thanksgiving holiday is coming up next week, and I pray that you will relish the holidays by being mindful of God. 3 main texts will be regarding the victor's crown. Paul gives us 3 analogies to edify us on today's teaching. A farmer, an athlete, and those who are vigilant. He analogously compares us to the soldiers. Having faith is like being a soldier. We have to be cognizant of the situation that we are situated in at the moment. Faith is a war. Worship is a war. Everything is a war. For us to become a righteous devotee, the process that we go through, this is a war. Uplifting others to save others, this is a war. This week, our team will be dispatched to Thailand to stand as a witness to the word. This is a war. According to the word, yielding to the command, submitting to it, this is a war. During the Chuseok holiday, there is excitement, but simultaneously, owing to the traditions of paying homage to the ancestors, the ancestral rites, this could be a war as well. All nations have endured wars. Our country, we are technically speaking in a state of armistice with North Korea. We are in a state of war. To preserve and defend the country, you have to erect a robust army. If there are those who try to destroy and compromise the structure of the country, then that person is either a spy or a destroyer. Peace is good, yeah, but by words alone cannot be preserved. You have to erect a robust army, maintain peace, and to uphold the scriptures. Suji's young adults, Suji Ark's young adults, are enlisted to serve in the army. And upon completion of the mandatory period in the army, they are returning one by one. We have Bak, young deacon, young adult, who is nearing his in period of the mandatory duty. Instead of saying that, oh, you are here already, but rather compliment him and tell him that he has done a good job. Job well done. And last week, Shin, young adult, was enlisted into the Marine. He was obstinate about joining the Marine. Instead of the Army, he joined the Marines. He is inspirited and he is... When the young adults from our church, when they join the army, we have a tradition of shaving the head together. After the evening sermon, we congregate and we shave the head together from the cheers of the fellow Christians and other young adults. We shave the head, and Park Johan, young adult, was the first one, and from him the tradition started, from the Hong pastor. Last week, I was the first person to use the hair clipper to shave his head, the Shin, young adult. To join the Marine, you have to have a very close to the scalp, and I, starting from the middle of the forehead, I shaved his head. And thereafter, sequentially, the father, the mother, the sister shaved his head. To join the army, you have to shave your head. You cannot have a long hair or dye your hair. Why? Because you cannot. It's a place where a group collective consciousness must dictate the movement of the soldiers. Hence, you cannot be individualistic in what you wish and assert your individualism in the army. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Verse 4. Conscription is a place where soldiers join. It's a place where you subject your life. You cannot be arrested by your own thoughts and your life. You can't take a break as you wish and take a nap when you want to. You cannot complain about side dishes and food in the way you do to your mother. Complaining, you can't say, I want to see my mother, I want to return home. You cannot do this, and no one does this as a soldier. Those who were conscripted as a soldier must partake in the collective mechanism of the group. Our faith and mission is akin to that. We have been conscripted into the faith. There is no individual life. You cannot lead your life according to your thoughts and feelings and the dictates of your hearts. We have been called upon by God, and if the word is proclaimed, you have to yield and submit to it. Sir, yes, sir. And instantaneously commit yourself to God. You cannot say to God, I am busy at the moment, so let me return to you at a later time because I am busy with my work. I have to plow the land. I have to get married. I have to nurture my children, send them to good schools. I have plans of traveling. So next time, perhaps I will return to your commands. You cannot do this. As a soldier, you cannot do this. And like that, as a devotee who walks with God, you cannot do this. That's not faith. Faith and mission is like a soldier who has been conscripted into the army. When the word is proclaimed to us, you have to hear it as a command, and absolutely without reservation, you have to commit and submit yourself to please God. The moment He commands us, you have to spring out instantaneously toward the word, and you cannot be arrested by your own life. As a soldier, as we serve God, as you accord yourself with the commands, you cannot be hampered by your own way of doing. You have to determine and make a resolve. If that has been the case, we are in the midst of a war. It's a spiritual fight with the devil constantly. The devil has corrupted Adam and retired him to death. And even now, to present day, he will at every moment try to connive you to have the same fate as Adam. It's a spiritual battle, relentless battle against the devil. There's no respite. To please Jesus Christ, who has called upon us, we have to accord ourselves to Him, and we have to be free from all those earthly activities that hampers us from doing so. Second analogy is the same as an athlete who competes. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Athletes, their aspiration and hope is to win a medal in the Olympics. to attain the victor's crown, they compete against each other. They toil, they work hard, and they discipline themselves. The faith and mission is akin to the athletes. We have to yearn for the victor's crown. In the field, to those who yearn for the victor's crown and to those who are indifferent to it, there's a discrepancy in the attitudinal posture. Those who want to enter the Ivy League and those who do not, the temperamental posture is different in the two students. Those who gaze upon the victor's crown, crowned unto us by God, those who gaze upon it, those who do not, there is a distinctive discrepancy between those two types of devotees. Those who believe, those who do not. Those who do not believe tries not to win the victor's crown. They do not toil. They do attend the ceremonies and go through the motions, but they do not like the sacrifice. They don't like it. They like to moderately conduct themselves and with good manners just attend the church without the sacrifice. After we complete the life on this earth, in this temporal life, after we complete the race, according to our faith, God will requite it with his reward. If you believe this and if you gaze upon it, you have to yearn for this and gaze upon this. I pray that you will. Book of Timothy. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Like a soldier, according to the calling, you have to fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Second book of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Like a war. Poured out like a drink offering. He knew that his life was being poured out of him, being extinguished as time progressed. He knew that he was facing martyrdom, and he detected this. He had a presentiment about this. And when he was facing his imminent death, he was not resentful of God, but rather, it was the opposite. He had high expectations and he rejoiced in his deathly fate. He knew that he finished the race. And he upheld the word. And he knew that God will reward him with the crown. What awaits him? The victor's crown, the grace awaits him. Paul knew. To the end, he knew that he had kept the faith and he eagerly, anxiously awaited the crown. It awaits us as well. I hope that we will gaze upon the crown and transfix our eyes onto it. I pray that you will. You have to be careful of certain things to attain this reward. You have to accord yourself according to the regulations. Every competition has a regulation. If you are misaligned with the competition and the regulations, you will run afoul of the regulations. It will be illegitimate goals and points. If as an athlete, you make a goal or a point, make a point. If you continuously run afoul of the regulations, you will be penalized. And you would have to accept the race. You cannot, as a track and field athlete, misalign with the lines, the lanes. You have to stay within the lane and the bounds circumscribed to you. Our faith and mission is akin to that. Like a track and field athlete, according to the commands, according to the regulations, and the protocol set forth by God, you have to stay within the lane. What is the regulation? It is the word, the command. In our faith and our lives, it is the absolute truth and absolute standard and the law dictated to us. faith, the word alone means you believe and you expect. What do you believe? You believe in the word, and you believe in the covenant that he has afforded us with. Yearning for that. It doesn't matter how hard you labor away when you run toward the goal. It doesn't matter if you are outside the bounds of the regulations, it will be a legitimate effort. It will be deemed as that. Your thoughts and your feelings cannot have primacy over the word. It must invariably be subordinated to the word. You cannot, according to your convenience, lead your lives, and you cannot, it doesn't matter how hard you work if you are misaligned with the word. You have to follow the regulations and run within the lane and conduct your missionary work according to the commands. And the victor's crown is not something that is given to everyone. It is only given to those who wins. And to win, you have to be disciplined. First book of Corinthians. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Chapter 9, verses 24 to 25. Those who are transfixed to the victor's crown, these people are disciplined. They are temperate. They do not lead their lives and they're according to what they want and as they wish, regardless of how tired they are, they will get back up and train. And through the discipline, you can attain the crown. Kimyana, figure skating athlete, figure skater. To execute the triple axes, tens and thousands of times she failed to successfully execute the triple axes. She fell on her buns thousands of times. To execute the triple axis, you cannot eat everything you want. You have to abstain from food because you have to be light. And to strengthen your muscles, you have to do muscle training as well. Mind, body, and spirit have to be strong. You have to be temperate and harness your mind, body, and spirit. And without this, you cannot win the medal. You cannot win the victor's crown. Our mission and our faith is akin to that. You have to be disciplined and be temperate. You cannot do everything you wish. According to your convenience, execute your actions. You cannot do this. You have to be temperate. You could have a hobby, yes, but the hobby cannot impede our walk with God. If it does, you must stop from the hobby. You could travel, but if the traveling entails of you to skip the Sabbath day, then this is wrong. You must discipline yourself not to do this. You could watch a drama on TV, watch sports. You could join social gatherings, clubs. You can do all of these earthly activities, but none of these things must hamper your walk with God. You have to be temperate. To attain the reward from God, you have to stop from any impediments. To those who wants to attain the victor's crown, like an athlete who wishes to win the victor's crown, you have to, I pray that you will accord yourself, as the aforementioned. And lastly, it is like a farmer. So a hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. why does a farmer sow the seeds during the spring times so that he can harvest during the fall times? Because of the reaping of the harvest, farmer toils away. A farmer, there is a seed that he sows into the ground. Relative to the seeds planted, what you will receive from God, what you receive from the land, is incomparable, far greater than the efforts that you put in. The farmer is cognizant of this as he toils away on the land. Our faith and mission is like this farmer analogy. Currently, you are sacrificing and toiling away in faith. It is like planting the seed. In the midst of persecution and hardship, you are sowing the seed. It's not been discarded, diminishing into thin air, but it's not in vain. It's an act of great benefit. And when you reap the harvest at a later time, it's incomparable what you will receive, like this. Book of Romans, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's incomparable. The efforts you put in and the reward you will receive it will be in your favor, disproportionately great for you. Not in this temporal life only, but the life after as well. Book of Mark, truly I tell you, Jesus replied, the one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel, those who in faith sow the seeds will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. By 100-fold you will receive. You will receive it in this life and the life after as well. In this present life, you will receive it by 100-fold, and everlastingly, after life, you will receive it. It will go into perpetuity. All of the persecutions and the hardship, they are not futile acts. Whatever you sow, what will be returned to you will be great. Inconceivably great. Secondly, when the farmer sows the seeds, farmers sow with tears, but when they reap, they will sing with joy. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Book of Psalms. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Our faith and mission, it is the same as tearing up as you sow. At times when you are leading this life of faith, it's difficult. And from it, it could induce tears and you could be lonely. To the point of tearing up, you yield to the word and submit yourselves completely and you sacrifice, regardless of your tears. When you plant the seeds, the farmers tear up. But at the time of the harvest, it's a different story. With joy, you will reap the harvest. God will console us and he will solace us. And the consolation he gives us will be incomparable to the tears you shed in this life. All of the sacrifices you conduct in this life, it could be lonely, it could be hard, but at a later time, you will reap the harvest of great joy and rewards. Let us endure this. And at this time, to the point of crying, let us plant the seeds. I pray in his name that you will execute these actions. In the springtime, you will sow the seeds. And during the fall, you will harvest the crops. for you to reap the harvest during the fall, you have to sow the seeds in the springtime. Among the devotees, congregants, there's a time when the grace is afforded to the congregants. At this time, it is like the springtime for the farmers. You have to sow your faith, the seeds. And at this time, when the grace is given to you, it's an opportune moment for you to execute your faith and show your devotion to God and work for God. This is an opportune moment, and you have to sacrifice at this time. At this time, when you sedulously plant the seeds, you will receive and obtain the great reward. When the grace is afforded to you, you must not miss this opportunity because of earthly thoughts. You cannot pursue other avenues. Do not miss this chance. When you do this, there will be nothing for you to harvest at a later time. Nothing to show for at a later time. You will stay dormant in the fruitless state. Fourthly, a farmer. They work during the daytime and they take respite during the evening time. There's a time for respite and time for toil. There will be a time when you can no longer work. The time is limited. The farmer works during the daytime and takes respite in the evening, and they participate in the glory of God. You have to work during the day. However, if you don't toil away during the daytime, the nighttime will not be a time of respite, but a judgment day rather. Accounts will be settled. It will be a time of fear if you do not toil away during the daytime. Whatever you sow, according to what you sow, you will reap directly proportionate to what you sow. Book of Galatians, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Altruistic deeds and giving per need. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Second book of Timothy, first book of Timothy, chapter 6. This is the type of work that will be accounted for when you are ushered into the everlasting life. Hence, I trust that you will assiduously plant the seeds. Propagating the gospel is the command given to us by God. As a farmer, it is the biggest mission we have as his congregants. Book of Matthew, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You sow the seeds of life, and it is the biggest command that we have received from God. We are like an athlete, a farmer, and a soldier. Like them, we have been convoked by God. Let us not be arrested by the earthly activities, our lives. Let us be transfixed to the glorious crown, victor's crown, and let us not aberrate from the path of glory. And let us ready ourselves for the great reward. And I pray that you will plant the seeds so that we can reap the fruit at a later time, the everlasting life that is. Let us hold the scriptures to our hearts and pray.